So glad you're with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio and our affiliates. Thank you all for carrying the program. And those of you who participate with your calls, your texts, your comments on YouTube and Facebook page, you can catch us right now at EWTN Catholic Radio Facebook. You will see us live on video and on the YouTube channel for EWTN. There's Debbie waving to you right now to prove it. So here we go, Deb, another program.
This is going to be a really, really good one. I just feel it because I was looking up the statistics, Jerry, and just in the U.S. of how many people visit the self-help shelves of the bookstores. And did you know, Jerry, it's a $10 billion per year industry? $10 billion for financial help, personal help. What does that say about us as a United States? I mean, are we really mastering this? This purpose-driven life? You know, Rick Warren sold over 60 million copies of The Purpose-Driven Life. Are we understanding this any better? That's what we're talking about today, living life with a purpose. You wake up in the morning, you go to work, you do the tasks and the errands that you need to do, your job and whatnot. And are you living with a purpose? Can you be doing all the things you need to do and still be feeding your spiritual life, your emotional life, your intellectual life, and living with a purpose? That's what we want to talk about today. We want to dive in. And Jerry and I are very passionate about this. As a matter of fact, we're developing a whole entire series really around having a real strong purpose and passion in life. So join us with this in this discussion by calling in and sharing your wisdom on it. We'll kind of unpack it a little more and then see what part you can play in it. If you could call in and educate us, 1-800-585-9396.
Yeah, maybe the overarching question is, do you have a sense of the purpose in your life? Do you understand this whole notion, or maybe not? Maybe you just want to call in and say, you know, hey, Debbie, help me understand this a little bit better. Because really, you know, God does create us for a specific purpose. That doesn't mean that God has in mind a specific choice we're going to have for lunch today or something like that. But everything that we do, Debbie, and I need you to help me kind of make sense of this as well, but everything we do, like you said, going to work, assisting our family, interacting with people in social life and so forth, really ought to be helping us develop spiritually, intellectually, like you said, emotionally, growing closer to God and seeing the world be better for us having walked through it. Is that a safe way to put it?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jerry. And it's a comprehensive approach. That's the thing. Because so many people really find, if you will, their purpose in life. And they'll be on a mission to really really just perfect it and to devote their whole entire being to it. But yet other things can fall by the wayside, maybe their relationships or their own spiritual health, but they feel like, oh, well, I'm on my purpose. And here's the thing. The reason why I'm saying this, dear listeners, is please listen up on this. I'm really coming at this from experience because I have actually lived it, but more importantly than that, I have actually had friends that they will put their hand on a Bible and say, yes, I am living my purpose in life. And yet you can watch that so many other areas of their life have really been compromised. And is that really what God wants? I mean, God wants us to have life and to have it to the full. That's what he wants. He wants us to dream big and to live that out. So if you're living on purpose, that's great. But tell us how you do it. Is it do you approach everything with balance, and do you try to make sure that your relationships are intact and yourself, you're taking care of yourself? We want to hear from you. This is a very, very important topic. We just got done sharing. It's a $10 billion industry per year. That means it's on your minds probably quite frequently. So why don't you call in and share what you can impart to us? 1-800-585-9396.
You know, yeah, that number again is 800-585-9396. Please do call now. Debbie and I hate to get to the end of the show and not be able to get to everybody. But what I'm really hearing in all of this, Debbie, is really the word focus kind of comes to my mind here. And again, it's not that we are just sort of like robots going about our day thinking, okay, purpose, you know, everything.
Yeah.
But it's like it's sort of ingrained in who we are. And I think it ties into the spiritual life in a very beautiful way, because God does not want us to be adrift. He does not want us to be just kind of going wherever the wind blows. And a lot of people are doing that today. So, dear friends, we want to hear kind of how do you stay on those railroad tracks, you know, if
yes.
you sense that God has put you on this earth for a purpose, for a mission, and maybe you don't have it like laser-focused defined, but you kind of know what it is, and it's to make the world a better place, to help the people around you. Like Debbie said, how do you do that? How do you maintain all of those components of that? 1-800-585-9396.
And if you can't hold for a few minutes, we'd still love to hear from you. So please text us. You text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response and then put your first name in, your question or your comment, and we'll put it into the discussion. You can also reach us by YouTube, by Facebook, any which way you can get to us. We'll try to read it on the air, or at least we will read it after the show and really contemplate it and think about it for future topics. So what you have to say is important. Don't sit this out. See, here's the thing. Whenever you talk about the word purpose or a purpose-driven life or living life on purpose, lots of people will sit back and take notes because they want to learn. That's exactly what it is. But we want to hear from you. We want you to drive this show. 1-800-585-9396.
Yeah, and a real key part of this discussion today, moms and dads, parents, you want to raise your kids to really be conscious contributors to the world and to really make it better for them having walked through this world. And so many of our young people today, really, I hate to say it, are kind of aimless and not really, don't really know what their life is all about. So how do you help instill this in your kids too? 800-585-9396. Your calls are coming right up.
Hello, I'm Doug Keck, and this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I just finished interviewing Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, our chaplain here at EWTN, on our new book published by EWTN Publishing, Mother Angelica on Suffering and Burnout. So, Father, tell us, what's this book about?
It's six mini-books that have been put together. Suffering, Burnout, Consolation are the three themes here. Suffering really is a question that's universal, right? How do we deal with suffering? What is the meaning of suffering? Is there a meaning to suffering? She also looks at dryness in prayer that we experience. Sometimes we don't feel like the Lord's distant. Where is He? Mm-hmm. When He's actually purifying my heart and helping me to grow in love and less selfish love. Then she concludes the book by looking at His silent presence, but also that He needs me.
The book is on suffering and burnout. Look for the entire interview coming soon to EWTN's Bookmark. And this has been an EWTN Bookmark Brief. This book available, of course, through the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. Thanks.
Have you heard of Amazon Echo? It's a virtual personal assistant that allows you to use just your voice. You can listen to EWTN Radio just by saying, Alexa, play EWTN Radio. Check out the Amazon Echo today.
Post your intentions on the prayer wall on Jerry and Debbie's website. To get there, just click on the bright yellow J&D logo at take2show.com. Jerry and Debbie personally reply to every prayer intention that's posted. Others will also offer you their prayer support. When there's something important you want prayers for, post it on the prayer wall on Jerry and Debbie's site. Visit take2show.com. Click on the J&D logo today.
This is Janet Benkovic, host of Women of Grace.
Hello, this is Cardinal Donald Wuerl of the Archdiocese of Washington.
This is Gloria Purvis, host of Morning Glory. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We're so glad you joined us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani along with Jerry Usher, and we're talking about living life with a purpose, living on purpose or finding your purpose, whichever which way you want to coin the phrase. But what it means is really having a real intentional purpose in life that you're not just here by accident. You're here for a reason, and it's a God-given reason. And when you uncover the great gifts that you have that God has bestowed uniquely just to you, you'll realize it. It becomes one of those things where you just wake up one day and you say, I get it. I think I'm here for this reason. And you finish the sentence in your own mind, in your own heart. And it's a wonderful topic to discuss. But Jerry, I just wanted to share real quickly before we go to the phones. I'm so passionate about this, Catholic life skills. And you and I talk about this all the time. In fact, we're developing a lot of things that can really, really just assist others in their faith walk and in their spiritual life. And I really want to put this out there. Please, if you're listening right now and you want to maybe change, the feeling in your community, maybe shift the focus a little bit in your parish community, ask your pastor or ask your parish manager if maybe Jerry and I can come out to your parish and do the show on location and also impart to you some of these skills that we've learned over a combined 100 years. Jerry and I have been on this earth.
Most of those are mine.
That's right. No, I'm just teasing. But please do that, because so many times we're looking for programs, if you will, or mini retreats or speakers to come out. And it's wonderful topics they have to share. But these are practical life skills that can really move you forward in your faith life. And we're willing to do the show on location. It's kind of exciting. So maybe think about it for the fall or for the spring. Our calendars are booking up rather quickly, but that's a good thing. We want to be out there with the Take-Two family. So I just wanted to put that out there, Jerry.
All right. We're going to hear what you have to say about this conversation regarding living on purpose, as Debbie says, and really being conscious and wanting to make people around you better, the world a better place. And by doing that, we all become better people. So Glenn in Florida, Glenn, want to thank you for calling first. We're going to go to you first, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Hi, Glenn. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, good afternoon. It's a pleasure talking to you. First time caller.
Well, welcome.
Well, thank you. I wanted to suggest that all of the very complex and yet simple questions that we ask each other, the answers are always very, very simply found in Scripture. And one of the things the Lord tells us is that He came here to serve and not be served. And by that, I live my purposely driven life by trying to produce godly acts that will evangelize His word and convert more people to Jesus Christ. So if anyone is looking for a response to a question that they're finding difficult in their heart, I would just ask them to think about the Holy Spirit and open up the Scripture. And I have not in 70 years, both of being ministry, et cetera, have not found the answer in the book. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say, and I thank you.
Jerry, do you want to? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just think the nugget of what I heard you say, Glenn, is right on the money, and that is, we are placed on this earth to serve others, absolutely. And I believe there's a real absence of that in the world today. And when we don't serve others, when we are kind of turned more in on ourselves, and it's a natural inclination, self-preservation comes in with a lot of the dangers and, you know, the threats of the world and all of these things. You know, we tend to want to, like, maybe think, yeah, I got to take care of myself, you know. And if we're not coming out of ourselves and helping others to be better, then we are not fulfilling, I think, what is the overarching purpose that we're all here. Deb?
I completely agree. And Glenn, I just wanted to share, when we started out the topic for today, or introducing it, talking about this comprehensive approach, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly that we are here to serve. And that also means to also serve ourselves, to take care of ourselves, because we can't give what we don't have. And a lot of people are so good-hearted and good-natured, and they want to give and give and give, and they will give to a fault. They will give to the point where they are really compromise themselves or their relationships at home. So the thing about it is I remember this incredible wise pastor that I worked for 6 years. He always used to say, you have to give of your excess. You can't give of your reserve, because if you give of your reserve, then you're tapping into yourself and we heard the spot earlier, burnout and stuff like that. That can happen. What do you think, Glenn? It sounds like you've taken care of that.
Well, to be frank with you, I think you're giving a very sincere testimony, because one of the things that I have not learned yet is how to receive. And I know the Lord wants us to receive. And I still feel guilty, because I always believe there's so much more needy in the world than me. But at the same token, you know, it's a blessing to receive as well as to give.
Right. Well, Glenn, let me share this with you. This might be helpful, and this is one of the practical tools that Jerry and I impart when we come out and we go into the parish communities, is that if you practice that skill, Glenn, of trying to receive graciously and be open to that, think about this. The more you receive, Glenn, you'll be able to give that much more.
Amen.
That's the cool thing about it.
Yes, I appreciate that, and I've been trying very hard for a number of years, probably 20, 30 years, to learn how to graciously accept the things that the Lord wants to provide for me. But I don't want to get into a martyr thing, but it just seems that if I am given a gift of $100, I immediately have to give away 110.
Right.
Yeah, Glenn, I was just going to say, I can think of one example from Scripture and one very, very practical example that I know you're familiar with that might help you really see that this is a necessity for us to certainly care for ourselves, not in an overly like selfish or narcissistic way. But when we're on an airplane, I use this example all the time, that spiel that the attendants give before you take off with the oxygen mask. What do they say? They say put your own on first, then help others. Because if we're just helping others around us and we say, oh, I don't need my oxygen mask, pretty soon we're going to be laying on the floor of no use to anyone. And the other example that I would give is what is it, Debbie? Skip my mind here.
Well, but I love that example. That's my favorite. Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
As yourself.
You know, the commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. That clause is in there. Right. If we don't have a proper care of ourselves, then we're not going to be able to serve others. So, Glenn, I think you've really gotten us off to a great start. Glenn, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate
it. Yes, thank you, Glenn. Bless your heart. Thank you. Wow, wonderful. So if you want to jump in, there's an open phone line. Share with us if you're living with purpose or on purpose and how you do it. Tell us your day-to-day. We want to learn from you. So don't just wait and sit this out. Maybe you're not even sure what exactly your purpose is, or maybe you're not even sure what we're talking about. Well, call in and ask us. Let's explore it together. That's what this peer ministry is all about. We do this together. And believe me when I tell you this, you probably have the answers right inside of you. You probably know the answer already. We just need to discuss it and bring it to the forefront, and then we all learn from it. 1-800-585-9396. Who's up next?
Okay, next we're going to Domingo, who is in Boston, listening to us on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Domingo. So glad you joined us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Welcome.
How are you today?
Good, Domingo. Nice to hear from you again.
Good. Nice to hear from you, too. I enjoyed your show.
Oh, thank you. What I know you got some great wisdom to share with us here. What would you like to say?
No, when I was driving my car, I can feel the Lord wants to be sent.
Domingo, forgive me. We've got a, I don't know if it's the cell phone connection or, you know, what it is. Give it another try, Domingo. We had a little bad connection with you there. I apologize. Let's see if we can Can we get Domingo back on there, or maybe? Okay. Try it again there, Domingo. Yeah, I'm sorry. We had a bad phone connection. Go ahead. Are you with us, Domingo? All right. Well, we will check back with him in a minute. We will get to our next call here in just a minute. The number, by the way, is some calls are being screened right now. 1-800-585-9396. We want to check with Domingo. I see a little, our call screener, Matt Gabinski, puts a little blurb up there of what each caller wants to talk about. And Domingo, I hope that we get to get a good phone connection with you and hear what you have to say, because Debbie, it looks like he's got some a really interesting insight to impart about this topic.
Yeah, I mean, I hope this is what he's on what he's trying to focus in. But he was, I think he's maybe is going to introduce this idea of a resistance, or the dark side, or the Satan, or the devil coming into our path and keeping us off track. And that is very true, Jerry. I just wanted to say real quickly, that is extremely evident in people who definitely have found, quote unquote, their happiness or purpose in life, is that it seems that the dark side comes in and tries to just mess with you just enough to maybe make you doubt that you're on purpose or whatnot. So we're going to get back to Domingo. I think it's going to be wonderful. But Luke, are we going back to Domingo? We are, Jerry?
Well, it shows that he may be, yes. I think he's ready again. So Domingo,
okay.
We're going to try it again.
Hi.
How are you? How are you, sir?
Good, and you?
Good. Sounds better. Thank you.
Just like what happened in the station when we want to be sent, the devil wants to cut off even our voice sometimes.
That's
and,
right.
And also, they put he likes to put thoughts in the other people's mind when we want to be sent, and that person can be an obstacle for us to be sent. Like I'm going through a problem with my wife now. My wife is very very nice person, but I think she's going through some trials now, and it also affect if I am married with a person, the other person seems to be affected too, and the holiness is taken out of the other person when the other person probably is having also issue. So to be sent, I think that the Lord wants us to be sent, everybody. But he also put in our brain that you are called to be sent. But when that happens, the devil is going to use a lot of obstacles for you not to do the good that the Lord wants us to do.
Very true. Very true, Debbie. You were touching on this a minute ago. And,
yeah.
And anytime anything good is going on, dear friends, I've said this before on the show, and Domingo, I think you'll appreciate this. Debbie, you will. If you are not being harassed and hassled by the devil, then you need to do an inventory and figure out, you know, are you
Absolutely.
On purpose? Are you living Yep. on purpose? Are you doing what God is calling you to do? Are you making a difference? Are you really trying to convert your own heart and your own life? So, Debbie, I think Domingo has really hit on something here that we don't want to overdo it, you know, see
Right.
the devil under every rock, you know, I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be conscious that he is going to be active and trying to oppose us.
Well, he's going to be active, or the world in general can be something that can really detract you from your purpose. But Domingo, I think I heard you say that your wife may be encountering some obstacles right now. Really, you have to get back to the basics. And I know you're probably doing this because you sound like you're on that wonderful path. Domingo, gotta pray together. And if she's unable to do those deep prayers right now, then you pray for her. Because and enlist the saints and enlist her guardian angel and your guardian angel, because there, believe me when I tell you this, I am living proof of it, that there is so much power in prayer that we haven't even scratched the surface on. Sometimes I feel like we say the word prayer and it's such just a trivial word. We just throw it out there. Oh, I'll say a prayer for you. Oh, maybe I'll pray to God. But it's so powerful. It's our weapon that we need to use to combat exactly when we are up against the world, which can be dark, or Satan, which is definitely dark. So I hope that helps, Domingo. What do you think?
What I see is that I know that God, whatever God gave us is for blessing, but the devil wants to use it for punishing us. Like, we have three kids, and I see how my wife struggled to to deal with them. Like, they come all together, ask for breakfast, for this, and my wife sometimes want to yell. I tell her, no, don't do it, because the devil wants. The devil has given, the Lord has given us the kids for blessing, children for blessing, and he wants us to just cry out, and the devil wants us just to get out of here and leave everything. And it's because that's the blessing that the Lord has given us. We need to, it's for our blessing, not for our curse. And then there are a lot of women struggling today who have more than one kid. And the devil is telling probably the wife, cry out and leave everything. And no, that's the blessing, and that's where the Lord wants to make you a saint when you're going through those struggles, just as you said.
That's right. Well, yeah, Domingo, you've just really kind of capped off the phone call very well. We'll let you go on that, but you're right. Just and make sure that your wife is taking care of herself, too. I know Debbie would strongly echo that. I mean, parents especially, I think moms, if I can put it that way, tend to see themselves, you know, that they have to be giving, giving, giving all the time. I know a lot of wives and mothers like that. So you take care of her too, Domingo. I'm sure you're doing that. You're a great man, great husband. Thanks for calling the program.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Psychological correctness is ruining parents. What is psychological correctness? It's the idea that says if you just say the right words with the right logic, using the right reinforcement schedule, and implementing the right I message, Melody will say, "Oh, Mother, I've just been so blind. Of course, I see parenting as you describe it." Psychological correctness is a quagmire. It leads to analysis paralysis, overthinking, overanalyzing, overtalking, under-enjoying. Psychological correctness essentially makes parents seek, search for the appropriate ways to do it. Better to ask, how well is this working in my family, with my children, and my morals?
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, "Now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies." And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died." Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we ask for. The challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
This is your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie, and we're going to go right back to the phones in just a second because Elaine just Facebooked in a question, and I want to just quickly, Jerry, if I can, address it. Elaine was asking, how do you determine what your gifts are? Well, Elaine, that's the $64,000 question, because so many people ask that. That's why they are rushing to the self-help shelves in the bookstores, because they're trying to figure out what they can contribute to this world. And the first thing I would suggest, Elaine, and anyone else listening, is if you're not really quite sure what your gifts are, try to enlist a spiritual advisor for some direction, because sometimes you may think you have certain talents and gifts, and really God is calling you for something much bigger. It's really unusual, because I will tell you this, I never in my wildest dreams when I was a child, or even in high school, or even in college, did I think I was going to be a catechetical leader. Never did I think that. Never did I think I was going to be an RE director. I never thought I was going to be on a radio show. I never thought any of it. But somehow it evolved through prayer and discernment and with a lot of spiritual direction. And it's really amazing what God intends for you outside of the kind of the crayon lines you've drawn for yourself. God is thinking much bigger than that. So, Elaine, that would be the first step. Jerry, do you have any comments for Elaine?
I would just add for Elaine and everybody, and Debbie, it's all great advice that you just gave, but don't overthink it. Don't over-discern it, because God is going to put desires on your heart. If you have desires on your heart that are immoral, illegal, you know they're not from God. If you have desires on your heart to serve, to be involved in this or that ministry, or to really try and help people and assist them, you know that's of God. So God's going to put desires on your heart, and then he also gives us each particular talents. And I don't have any skill whatsoever for things like tinkering, engineering, that kind of, I mean, right. I'm all thumbs when it comes to that. So look at what your natural gifts and talents are and the desires, the authentic, healthy, holy desires that God has put on your heart, and couple that with some spiritual guidance. You're going to be fine. You're going to be transforming the world around you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. As promised, back to the phones. Luke, you've been waiting so patiently, and you're listening in Massachusetts on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Luke. Welcome to Take Two.
Hey, hi. Hey, listen, it's Lou. I've called you guys before, and you can hear me okay?
Yes.
Just fine, Lou. Sure.
I just want to say, I called you guys back a while ago, and I was thinking about moving in a different direction. I just retired from teaching earlier than I wanted to, but I had the time in. And I'm actually taking advice that you gave me, going back to work with special needs adults, but I'm actually thinking about modifying the theology of the body curriculum to meet the needs of high-functioning special needs adults and teenagers. I'm getting a lot of trouble. Sometimes they're exploited, sometimes they're perpetrated for crime because they're not being properly supervised. But I'm going to work for an agency. I'm not going to be doing that initially. I'm going to be working with lower functioning adults. But it was what you had to say to me back then, because I was listening to God, and God was conveying to me that you're just meeting up with kids I've taught in the past that have special needs. And people in other places, you know, and God is telling you, you need to get back to this. And anyways, look, you know, I love listening to this program. There's so many good programs on EW2N that are so helpful. And I'm just very appreciative of what you guys do. I just wanted you to know that.
Well, thank you, Lou. We really appreciate that. And we appreciate you, what you're doing, this work with special needs. I believe you said special needs and maybe lower functioning adults and so forth. And Debbie, you know, there are a lot of people who really have needs like that, and they are just as worthy as anybody else of being considered part of the human family and being able to use their gifts and talents and contribute to the world around them. And yet so many of us want to ignore them, push them off to the periphery, maybe even, you know, maybe even disrespect them in some ways. Right. Maybe not consciously, but I love what Lou has this real passion on his heart to do that, and he's pursuing that.
Well, yeah, you can hear it in your heart, Lou, and when you called before, the same way, is that you have a passion inside of you to help and to build the kingdom. And that is, you know, what we're all called to do, especially by our baptismal call. And here's the thing, is that I believe in my heart of hearts. I'm not an expert on this, but I'm just thinking this from my heart, is that God smiles on that when we are trying, or our intention is that we want to help, we want to serve, we want to build, we want to contribute. And you're doing that. And I believe that there's going to be eternal merits on that, Lou. I just do. I think God wants more of that from us. So many times we tap out. We're tired. We're exhausted. We've done our share. And we just tap out. And you haven't done that. And I think that is wonderful. And God bless you. Please forgive me, though. I wanted to tell you as you were speaking, there was a lot of background noise. So I think I got the gist of your call. And it's always wonderful to hear from you. Thank you, Lou.
Yeah, Lou, thank you very much for the call and for your beautiful witness. You're an inspiration to both me and Debbie, and I'm sure to all of those who are listening here. So keep us tuned in there on the Station of the Cross. We appreciate you joining us very, very much. Let's see, Michelle is next in Elmira, New York, also a Station of the Cross listener. Stephanie, hold on, in Ohio, you're going to be right after Michelle. Hi, Michelle, welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've just been inspired by Debbie today and her thought that, she never thought that she would be, you know, in the place that she is right now as far as her job and, you know, kind of what she's doing. And I struggle every day when we talk about, you know, our purposes because at my job, I'm working with at least two-thirds or three-quarters of my building is Catholic. Some, you know, occasionally go to Mass. You know, I've had, you know, coworkers who've given me communion, those kinds of things. But yet, you know, when you see them on that Monday morning, they almost want to leave their faith at the door. And they don't even want it to be, it's kind of like this massive irony. And so, you know, when you're talking about purpose and how you evangelize and, you know, and try to reach out to them, you know, I had a priest say to me one time, you know, that's so sad because you could be bringing the kingdom, you know, to the workplace by building it up and having that camaraderie. But yet at the same time, I see people who are just living the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. And so it's very difficult at times, you know, to get up every morning and say, okay, I have to go back there. I have to try to, you know, be that good example to others. And sometimes I think that I'm just, you know, a sign of contradiction that they don't want to see. And so a lot of times I'm ignored or, you know, overlooked for, you know, various events or, you know, whatever the case might be. But it's just this constant reminder of, you know, the signs that are there that just don't want, it's like they compartmentalize their faith. And so that, I think, brings a huge challenge to people in the workplace. I do like to also put forth, too, that I've been kind of inspired by Jose Maria Escriva, by Opus Dei, because he really puts the workplace as the central part of Opus Dei. And I just love that idea because I feel like it's just this microcosm of the world that they just don't want it there. They want to be doing their own thing. You can't talk about the Lord. You know, your witness tends to be radical. So those are just some of the things, and I know I'm kind of reaching out more to the saints, especially those that really had contradictions in the workplace.
Well, Michelle,
wow, that was
great. Yeah, that was. Michelle, I have to tell you, there's probably thousands and thousands of people right now listening to you going, that's exactly what's happening in my workplace. So you're not alone, because we've heard this many times before. And here's the great news. The great news is you've identified what's going on, okay? And you can be that element of change and inspiration by your witness and your passion of your faith. So what I mean by that is you don't have to go in there and spew all over everybody Catholicism. Okay, you can just be that joyful presence and you maintain a higher view, if you will, not a higher level, but a higher view of the situation and let people rise up to you. Because here's the thing, people want down deep. I can almost bet you this, Michelle, those same people that you see at church, that you see in the workplace, they probably do want to live their Catholic faith. Unfortunately, they've given in to fear, or they have compromised, or they have rationalized, and you're right, they've left it at the door. And how unfortunate is that? Because if they could weave in their Catholic faith, they don't have to be saying saints' names and quoting scripture all the time, but they can be that beautiful witness of the Christian life in the workplace, and they want to be. They're just very apprehensive, but you are key. The only thing that I would suggest, Michelle, is you've got to fill yourself up spiritually, and you're doing it tapping into the saints and asking them for their help and reading and meditating on saints' lives. Absolutely. Ask them to help you. Ask your guardian angel to help you. And you know what? I can feel the Holy Spirit present. So, Michelle, you're on to something here. I think you could easily transform your workplace, given that you kind of step out of it and look at it almost like a fishbowl. You're looking at fish in a fishbowl. I hate to use that analogy, but do you see where I'm going with this, Michelle?
During my summer hours is I'm always kind of looking for that right Catholic job that I would love to find. Like, Debbie, if I could get your job, I'd have it. You know what I mean? Because I know.
Watch out, Deb.
Keep me in mind, Michelle. Keep that name in mind. No, seriously, because you can actually live your faith and with great joy. It's not being, you know, put down per se. It's
right.
It's being lived. It's being lived without fear. It's being lived without, you know, you don't have the obstacles per se that are there on that daily basis,
right.
That most of us, you know, face. I mean, you know, look at the people who, you know, work for bakeries who can barely bake a cake without having, you know, someone judge them and perhaps take away their, you know, way of life. I mean, it's that rough day-to-day environment that we all, you know, kind of face. And so I do kind of psychologically, you know, look for other jobs. But, you know, sadly, yeah. it's hard to find comparable salaries or, you know, especially if you're main breadwinner, you know, how do you go about doing that? So it's that feeling of being stuck. You know,
yeah.
I don't like that feeling of feeling stuck all the time. But yet sometimes I think, well, if I'm stuck, maybe that's God's will. I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Michelle, that's my point. If God doesn't want us to be stuck, okay? He doesn't want it, but he uses us, the capable ones, in certain situations. There may be one person there, Michelle, in your workplace, or maybe several in your workplace that need your presence. They need your presence. You may be a lifeline to them. You may not even realize it. See, God doesn't want us to be stuck. We can always, what's that old saying? You can make a lemonade out of lemons or something like that. You can always turn this into a purposeful mission, because God has obviously given that to you, Michelle, at least for right now. And maybe if after you've served this time, if you will, and you have done your very best where you're at, then God opens other doors. And it's really interesting how God works. I've seen it in my own life. Jerry, do you concur with that or what?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when Michelle said that, you know, she really would love to find another job, I thought, well, you know, if that's God's will, that'd be great. But my first inclination was to think along the lines you were, Debbie. And Michelle, I would just offer that as well. Maybe you're the lifeline, the life preserver that God has thrown into that work environment. Like you said, a lot of them are practicing their faith, maybe not as visibly in the workplace. But I would just say, finally, I would just say, enter into their space, into their world. Not if there are sinful things going on, gossiping, any kind of immoral behavior, things like that, backbiting. You don't want to get into that. But, I mean, just take your joy and enter into their world. Don't expect to, and I'm not saying you do this, but express and manifest your faith and kind of hope or expect everyone's going to come toward you, but really go to them and just, you know, what's going on in your life? You know, how can I just listen, be a friend, be a mentor, be a coworker, and they're going to really, I think, really grow from that. So Michelle, thank you very much for joining us on the program. We're going to go to Stephanie, then we'll get our plug for the day. Stephanie has been holding a long time there in West Salem, Ohio. Stephanie has us on Facebook Live today. Welcome to the program, Stephanie. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm well, and I would like to say thanks to the both of you for living out your purpose as best you can as of today. I know your viewers, including myself, appreciate the time that you take to answer questions and take comments, so thank you for that.
Thank you, Stephanie.
I just wanted to make a brief comment on, you know, as far as a purpose goes, we all struggle with that every day. I've been struggling with that for years. I would like to say, though, a good starting point, I feel, would be to maybe give up a little bit of time at your parish. I feel that volunteering for, you know, whatever event that might be coming up, or even going to Eucharistic adoration is a good starting point to try to find out what your purpose is. Prayer is huge. I find that in the parish life, a lot of people, you know, and it's very easy to do, get caught up in your day-to-day, as your previous caller said, you know, you're going to work, and then you have your kids, and you have their sporting events, and all kinds of things are going on, their distractions. And I feel like we get away from the main point, and that is to serve God, and maybe the good starting point would be in your parish and using a gift there. You know, maybe in choir. You could be a reader. you know, there's many options available. And, you know, less than 7% of parishioners devote their time to the parish.
Right,
and it puts
right.
a lot of strain on, you know, the other people who are volunteering. So it could be of great help there in many different ways. And that's really all I wanted to, you know, put out there.
Well, I love that, Stephanie, because it really is, in many ways, it's a non-threatening way for people to try and dig a little bit and try to find if, you know, what their purpose might be. I think, I don't want to say we have necessarily a strict obligation, and I'm sure you're not saying this, to be involved in the parish, but I think maybe not strict, but I think we do have an obligation, obviously, to participate in many ways. That is to attend Mass, to offer our stewardship financially and support the works of the parish and all that. But, yeah, I'm with you, Stephanie. I think a lot more people could really find, if not their overall life purpose, certainly a lot more joy and this service-oriented mentality by being involved in their parish. Debbie, I know you've been involved in parishes for decades. You know what she's talking about.
Oh, definitely. Stephanie, you're not going to get an argument from me, because I'll tell you what, I'm all about ministry. I think that a lot of people are fearful of jumping into ministry because they're thinking that it's going to take a lot of time away from their personal life, and maybe they're going to be expected and they're going to disappoint at the parish minister, at the parish level. It's just not true. Parish life, it's fluid. People move in and out of ministry. You can jump in for one semester, jump out, change ministries, be a lector, like you said, Stephanie. I think it really does help people understand that they are an important part of the parish life, and that's the key to it. And I agree with you, a small percentage does 90% of the work, and that's unfortunate, because that's where burnout happens at the parish level. And that's why you see some grumpy faces on the parish staff, because they're spread so thin and they're trying to wear many hats. And it's unfortunate. If more people would step up just a little bit, it could go a long way. So Stephanie, you hit a home run with me. I could listen to you all day long.
Thanks, Stephanie. Appreciate the call. We'll get a couple more here. Just want to mention that you can stay up to date on all of the latest EWTN television and radio shows. There's a publication, it's called Wings, and you can sign up, and it comes to your email inbox, and it is full of information. If a new show is coming out on EWTN radio or television, or it promotes existing shows, maybe some special guests coming up. And also you can learn about things in the religious catalog at EWTN. You can sign up for Wings. Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands receive it already. Why not add your name to that list at EWTN.com? Just look for the Wings banner and click on that. Sign up and you're good to go.
We're getting a lot of Facebook posts, a lot of YouTube comments. We're going to try to get to them. We're racing against the clock, but we have been asked how you guys can reach us to see if we could come out to your area. Just email us at take2@EWTN.com. We would love to join your parish community and really just grow together. take2@EWTN.com. Okay, Maria, thank you so much for waiting. We're going to get to you in Geneva, Ohio, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Maria. Welcome to Take Two. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Forgive me. I have a cold.
That's okay.
I love your show. But I have a question. I was a little perplexed by your comment, Debbie, and I kind of need you to explain it.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Earlier on in the show, and it's something that perplexes me anyway, so I'm kind of glad you brought it up. But here's the thing you said about, I know that we're talking about purpose and all of that, but in that you were saying that to serve. And you guys were talking about self-preservation and serving ourselves. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
Do you know
right.
what I'm talking about?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that kind of confuses me because I thought that we're supposed to be totally dependent on God for everything. And that he will not be outdone in generosity. And that he wants us to give all we have, like the Bible phrase, which, you know, I don't know the scripture quote, whatever, because I'm Catholic. But anyways, you know, where the lady gives, the widow, I think it was, gave her last dime, basically.
True.
To the poor. And
true.
She didn't think about it because, so I'm wondering how that all is incorporated and give till it hurts. And then we're still supposed to say, oh, well, wait, I don't have enough. I'm not supposed to give to somebody. You see, like that whole 10% off the top or give only within your means. I'm thinking that all confuses me. I'm thinking it's either one way or the other. We just trust that God's going to give us what we need and somebody else, they need our coat. And then maybe our only coat, maybe we're supposed to give it and we're just not being generous enough because we're self-preservation. It's confusing. Could you
I get it. I get it. Okay, so Maria, here's the thing. I have to go quickly because of the time, but real quickly, let me put this in kind of and maybe shape it a little bit so that you could grasp it in a way that you can start to incorporate it. It's not that we're saying be selfish, and it's not that we're saying pull back and kind of pick and choose what you're going to give and what you're going to serve. That's not it. What it means is we are responsible to take care of the temples of the Holy Spirit. That's ourselves. So that means spiritually. That means emotionally. That means taking care of our families. That means being very prudent in the way we approach ministry, because there are a lot of people, Maria, I can tell you this, that have thrown it all to the wind and given everything, and yet their families have crumbled, their lives have crumbled, their health has been destroyed. God doesn't want that for us. That's not what he has intended for us to do. However, but what you're saying is, and I agree with 100%, the intention, the open heart, the willingness to give, the willingness to serve, God does ask us to have that disposition. And so you have that, Maria, but God also wants to preserve the yourself, in a sense, take care of your family needs first. Because what would happen? Yeah, you could give to everybody around the world, and then your family has no food on the table. That's not what God has intended. What do you think, Jerry? Did I kind of? I know I'm racing against the clock, but I wanted to make sure Maria.
No,
had
I think
it.
That sounds. I think that sounds reasonable. And Maria, for the sake of time, if you would like further discussion about that with Debbie or myself, please feel free to email us at take2@ewtn.com. take2@ewtn.com. Jeff in South Park, Colorado. Jeff, hate to do this to you, my friend, but we've got about 30 seconds. If you've got a quick thought you want to share, we will be happy to get you on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Jeff, you got 30 seconds, my friend. Go for it.
Yeah, I value preaching and service, but God has kept me out of the diaconate and put me in the middle of nowhere, so I'm finding that life of prayer is an acceptable person. Purpose.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. That's huge.
Well, you know, and I think, Jeff, and I need to tell you this, or Debbie, or any of our listeners, I think of the many of the monks and the contemplatives and so forth. And, Jeff, maybe you're not called to that radical a commitment in terms of prayer and so forth. But I'm inspired, Jeff. I hope that you will keep drinking deeply of your prayer life, and remember me and Debbie. Remember us in your prayers. I apologize, Jeff, that we didn't have more time, but I just at least wanted to give you a little bit because you took the time to call in. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and the Take-Two family. We remember you in our prayers every single day. So thank you again for making this a beautiful show. I think we've all learned and we've grown a little bit closer to God, maybe a better understanding of ourselves. But here's the name of the game. Let's just develop our relationship with God and see how the purpose unfolds. Jerry?
I will talk to you tomorrow. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day.